Okay, well, we're going to look at, I think, what is for most of us a pretty familiar section of Scripture. But while the kids are going downstairs, if you would please turn with me to 1 Timothy. You know, I wanted to mention, which I should have done earlier, that we are going to, is it next week? No, it's a week after next. We're going to be meeting at the Janovax for a Sunday evening fellowship. Okay, I wanted to, I always think when we do that, somebody's going to show up here in the morning.
Is there going to be food?
There's going to be food.
We're going to bring food.
Absolutely. All right. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to go. This is a section of Scripture that has changed for me over the years, the depth of its meaning. And I think that by the time we're done, you'll see what I mean. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who, verse 4, will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is really remarkable here is that this is, its context is that God's will is that all men, what?
Be saved.
Be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's God's heart. In verse 1, we're asked to pray. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for who?
All men.
For all men. For all men. Without the understanding or the perspective of what God has done in Christ, and looking at it from God's viewpoint, this could be a tall order. Verse 2, and for kings, and all that are where? In authority. And what we're being asked to do by our Father is to pray. We're to pray. And it's, you know, specific requests. And we're to pray for what? All men. All men. Now there's a section of Scripture with just these verses in mind. I want you to turn to, we're going to go to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. We're going to come back to 1 Timothy. I should have warned you. So if you want to stick a finger there.
Yeah. 55.
Yep. Isaiah 55. Another familiar section, I think, to many of you.
Is the recording?
Yes. Verse 7. Well, let's start in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord, Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's beautiful. That's God's nature. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than what? Than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You know why that is? Because it's God's word. That's why. And when he says it, it is. It's just that simple. And what we're reading here is that his ways are not what? They're not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Now there's another scripture I want to consider, you know, as we get into this, just considering what we just read in 1 Timothy. And it's in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 5 is pretty good too. This is such a great section, but I just want to read one verse here, and it's verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places or from on high. It looks like flesh and blood, and that's what this we're being taught here. It looks like flesh and blood, but is it?
No.
So many things, so many of the things that divide, that distract, that inflame men's emotions, passions, are rooted in the spirit realm. We see the manifestation of it, but they're rooted in the spiritual realm. God, it says in John, is spirit, right? They that worship him must worship him how? Right. There are only two types of people on the face of this earth, the saved and the unsaved. All other divisions are the result of other things that people get caught up in. There are the saved and the unsaved. That's it. There was a first Adam and a last Adam. Right? Right. And all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ belong to God. And God's will is that what? All men are saved. Not only saved, but then it says come unto a knowledge of the truth. And that word knowledge is a word, it's the Greek word epignosis. And it's a thorough knowledge, but it's a knowledge that has an effect on the knower. That's what it means. It's a full knowledge to the end that it affects you. That's God's desire for every man. Isn't that something? Let's go to Ephesians 2. You know, when we read regarding praying for kings and praying for those in authority, we tend to think in terms of who the king is or who the one authority is. Or, you know, we link it to some kind of political affiliation. That's sort of the nature of things, isn't it? Especially today. I mean, it's kind of nuts. Just to inflame people. But see, as we gain God's perspective, we start to get a different view of things. Start to see it God's way. And I pray because God's will is that all men come unto a knowledge of the truth and are saved. That's why I pray. Isn't that something? I'm not praying. My prayer isn't, you know, oh God, please get these people elected. You know, or shut this guy up. That's not my prayer. I pray because God's will is that all men be saved, so that we can lead quiet, peaceable lives in all godliness. And that word godliness basically means it's a piety. It's where you can be devoted to your God. That's what it means. Isn't that something? That's the result of it. That's the result of that prayer. See? And the rest of the stuff doesn't play into it. It doesn't play into it. Not in the context of what we're talking. Two kinds. It's not Republican and Democrat. It's saved and what?
Unsaved.
Saved and unsaved. Regardless of color, regardless of size, regardless of background, regardless of country of origin, whatever. It's saved and unsaved. Ephesians chapter 2. And you, verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of who?
Disobedience.
And that children of disobedience are those who have rejected the Christ. All are born dead. All are born without spirit. We all start at the same place. That's something. But God made a way by which we would have life. We would have spirit life. We would have eternal life. Let's keep reading. Among whom also we all had our manner of living in times past, in the lusts or the cravings of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature. You know, man is not corrupt because of what he does. He's corrupt because of who he is. He's born dead without spirit. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That, this is the reason for it. In the ages to come, he might show or exhibit or demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? It'll take all eternity for him to demonstrate his kindness to us. That's what it's for. You know, I mentioned this, I think, last week, but in the Gospel of John, it says, this is eternal life, that you might know the true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. That day will come. And all of us who have called on the name of Jesus Christ, believed on Jesus Christ, we're in on that. We're going to be a part of that. All who have not will not. So you know what we get to do? One of the things we get to do is pray. God wants us to pray. Isn't that awesome? So we pray for kings. We pray for all men. We pray for all men. Isn't that something? We're thankful for all men. That's like another level. We're thankful for all men. Let me show you something else before we go back there. Look at Romans 12. You know, these are very, very simple truths. But there's so much competition for our hearts and for our emotions, for our thinking. It's constant. It never stops. You know, if you've got a stupid smartphone, that's what I call them. They're stupid. They call them smartphones. They make you stupid. I don't know anybody's number anymore.
Right? But you got a stupid smartphone, or you got a computer, or a television, or whatever it is, it's just constant. It never stops. Never stops. See? And so, and the source of that, the source of that stuff is, it's spirit. And God gives us his word so that we can have sound, sober thinking. And in that word that gives us sound, sober thinking, what we're reading here is to pray. To pray for all men. Something, isn't it? Romans 12. We're not going to read this whole section, but I want us... let's start in verse 16. This is such a great section. You know, a little bit above this, it says to love. To love without dissimulation, or to love without hypocrisy, which really sets the rest of the book of Romans. It is that loving without hypocrisy and what it looks like. It's pretty neat. But verse 16, be of the same mind, or think the same thing one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. The ISV, there's some other translations, and it's much clearer, really. It basically means to run with the humble. That's what it means. See? Run with the humble. The humble. God's eyes are open unto who? Where does he live? We read it a few weeks ago. Those who are of a lowly heart, the humble. Recompense, verse 17. I'm sorry, I got to keep reading. Be not wise in your own what? Conceits or intellect. Recompense no man evil for what? No man. Provide things honest in the sight of who? All men. That's believer and unbeliever. That's all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, or the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Whose job is that? That's God's. We are woefully inadequate to pass judgment on anybody. Not even ourselves. Right? Woefully inadequate. So we believe what the word says. We leave that to God. And God says we'd never render evil unto any man. We don't recompense evil to even if we feel it's deserved. Even if we feel it's justified. You know, when you're just reading this, sometimes it's like, yeah, that's great. It's not so easy sometimes. You know, when you've been wronged or you've been hurt, it's not so easy, you know, to take the high road. It's going to take humility. It's going to take humility that God knows what he's talking about. See? Boy, it's something anyway. So we give place unto that stuff. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. That's pretty deep. If you really think about this. If your enemy hungers, it doesn't say don't make fun of him. It says feed him. Feed him. If your enemy has a need, meet it. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And you understand that. It means to warm him. You're warming him. Be not conquered by evil. You conquer evil by good. Isn't that me? That's who we are. That's who we are. God's desire is that all men are saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. That God is our Father. And He's the one who gave us life by grace. Not a one of us earn it. Not a one of us deserve it. And all the things that we have coming at the return of Jesus Christ, none of us deserve. Isn't that something? And then it's going to take all of eternity for Him to demonstrate His grace through His kindness to us. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to finish up. I just wanted to take a little time with this section. Sometimes things just get so furious in the world. It's just, you just got to sit back and take a breath, and not get caught up in things. And I've seen it. I've done it. We've all done it. You get caught up in something, something that the world is dangling, to take up your time, to take up your efforts. Some cause, something. Where's that stuff come from? See? And then people ended up pitted against one another. Over crazy stuff. Stuff that means nothing. It means nothing. But because the source of it is spirit realm, powers that be in the spirit realm, it looks big. It looks really important. It looks really whatever. What's really important? Prayer. That's really important. Verse 4 again. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He gave Himself a ransom for all. You know what all means?
Everyone.
Yeah. That means every man. Every man to God was worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that means. Chew on that one. Am I wrong? No. He gave Himself a ransom for who? All men. Everybody. Anybody that believes on Him has eternal life. For God so loved the right, that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him. Isn't that something? Every man. You were worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, so was that unbeliever out there. That's deep. You start thinking in those terms. And the more we grow in God's Word and begin to understand how God sees this and what Jesus Christ has accomplished and what's really taking place and where this is really all going to land, then it starts to get easier to see it that way. This is kind of neat. This phrase here, I just want to show you this real quick. There's a phrase here, who gave Himself a ransom for all. And in King James, it's translated to be testified in due time. Literally, you could translate this, the witness in its own times. It was an expression that was used at the time this was written. And what it means is that it is the it's something that was promised, that was fulfilled, and was witnessed to at that time. That's what it's referring to.
Well, what was promised? Jesus Christ was promised. A redeemer, right? Seed of the woman, all the way back in Genesis 3:15. And that promise was fulfilled and was witnessed to at its time. That's what this expression means. That promise came to pass. Now, there's a real similar expression used in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Verse 15, which in his times, okay, and it's really in its time, shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, means powerful authority, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Isn't that something? That is promised. There's a day coming when Jesus Christ will be revealed. Isn't that something? And there's a day coming when God will dwell and tabernacle with men. And we're all going to be part of that. Isn't that something? That's who we are. That's where we're headed. And that Father who by his grace saved us entreats us, beseeches us to pray for all men. And the reason we do that is because he desires that all men are saved and come under the knowledge of the truth. Now, how that all works, I don't quite understand. But I know who does. He who is asking me to do that. That's good enough, right? That's good enough. See? So that's what we do. We pray. We don't get caught up in the stuff. We pray. Okay? That stuff that comes up out there sometimes is good for jokes. But it's not what we get caught up in. Okay? So that's what I wanted to share. I just wanted to share a little bit about this section, just so we get it. And, you know, don't do it by your senses. It's not who, it's what. You know, I don't know who the king is or who's the authority, you know, at any given time. But God says pray. So we pray. Okay? All right. So, Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your love, your grace and mercy to us. And man, that we get to take part in this. We get to take part in seeing your word get into the hearts of people. Thank you, Father, for this. For the privilege we have to speak it. And for the privilege, Father, that we have to pray. Thank you for these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right.